Daniel chapter 12. As we finish the book of Daniel, we are going to look basically at the appendix to the book as we look at verses 4 through the end of this chapter. But there are some vital truths here that are reiterated, summarized, as God gives Daniel his final instructions at the end of this great book of and this particular prophecy. And so we want to spend some time taking time to really see some of these truths that are very appropriate for today and help us to get a sense of the times that are coming, a sense of the times in which we are living. One of the first instructions that God gives Daniel, and one of the great vital truths is found in verse 4, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." As we think of this prophecy, God tells Daniel to shut up the words. In other words, to preserve them, to settle them as you would a time capsule. And a great a picture here of the inspired Word of God, that these are not truths that are lost. These are not truths that are going to change, but these truths are going to endure, and in the time of the end, they will be clearer than ever. And it is amazing for us to think about the fact that God's word is true, not only in thought, not only in the principle, but in every letter, in every word, in every truth. The Bible is true. And the Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible tells us that David, as he wrote the Psalms, that the Spirit of God spake by me. The Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We have to recognize that, yes, God used human individuals, used human authors, but it was the Spirit of God who gave us the Bible. And the Bible is the only absolute truth that man has today. And our future is declared in the Bible, the future history of the world. And the Lord told David to shut it up until the time of the end. There's an implication here that obviously it's not going to change, but when it comes time to the end, the implication is open it up and let everybody see how all of this is very relative, very understandable, very clear, and the pages are unfolding before our eyes. Even as we think of the book of Daniel and we think of the great things that it talks about, and we can see how it is all about coming to pass. As we think of a world ruler utterly opposed to God, as we think of a world religion based on the abomination of desolation. You know, all of these things just fit so well, sadly, so well into the world today. this world religion that leads to the Antichrist has been prepped in this great land of ours for over 100 years of teaching evolution, which is really nothing more than teaching there is no God, and the teaching that man therefore is the highest form of animal life, and therefore man is God, and man can decide what is law, and man can decide what isn't law, and man can decide what is right and what is wrong, and man replaces God. And it is nothing then that the Antichrist will stand up and declare himself to be God, because that is what mankind has been doing now for over 100 years. And it's amazing how the politicians don't get it, or some of them get it. I read a quote from Newt Gingrich. He says, America is experiencing 3 generations having been brainwashed. Well, the brainwashing is the changing of history and the promotion of anti-God humanism and evolution in every form of our society through our government. But the book of Daniel speaks of the world powers that will be together at the last days. The king of the north, Russia and Turkey. The king of the east, the 200 million man army that comes from the east. The kings of the south, the Arab coalition, and of course the west. Is the only direction that isn't mentioned, because there will be the revived Roman Empire, and the European and America are considered the Western powers. Who would have even considered these things even a couple hundred years ago, or even 100 years ago? And so it is possible when it says knowledge shall increase, it's not simply talking about the fact that of inventions and different things like that. I think it is referring to the fact that as the world comes and the world scene is shaped, that the understanding of the book of Daniel will be very, very clear in the last days. And certainly that ought to do a little bit to motivate us to recognize the hour in which we are living, and to be serious about spiritual things, and not to be sleeping, apathy. If anything, today the disease is apathy. Everybody wants to be sleeping spiritually and enjoy the departing American dream. Now, with that, we find the question has been asked, these terrible things that are going to happen, a world religion, a world war in which the ruler is defeated, the time of great tribulation for Israel, the deliverance of the people of God after the tribulation, the judgment, the resurrection, the reward of the righteous. The question is asked, well, how long is this terrible, terrible time going to be? And this is truly emphasized here. It's here in this last part of the book. It says in verse 7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters of the river, when he lift up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, as we find this period, a time, times, and a half a time, 3.5 years is a very significant a number in the Bible. And we have that emphasized. Now, if you know anything about prophecy, you know that the amillennialists deny the millennium. And they deny great men like B.H. Carroll, that Baptist preacher, the Southern Baptist. He doesn't get it. For years, most Christianity did not understand the prophecies of Daniel, did not consider the 3.5 years of the tribulation to be literally 3.5 years. And we find that emphasis, 3.5 years are going to take place. And so there's some application. There are some points that we need to think about, but let's emphasize 3.5 years. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And tells us 3.5 years will be the period that our saints are given to the persecution of the Antichrist. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, that they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of times. This intense persecution of the believing Jewish remnant and the saved in the tribulation period will be for 3.5 years. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27 describes 3.5 years as the period between the breaking of the Antichrist covenant with Israel and the erection of the abomination of desolation and the period between the abomination of desolation and the establishment of Jesus' kingdom. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now that's the beginning of the tribulation period. That's the final week of years of the Jewish history. And in the middle of the week, the middle of this 7-year period, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That means the temple has to yet be built. Now, you know what? There is nothing in the Bible that says after the rapture, the tribulation period has to start immediately. There's nothing that says that. It's very likely, very possible that after the rapture, there's going to be months or maybe weeks in which things rapidly move, and or it even could be before the rapture, that the temple is rebuilt. And we know the temple has not been rebuilt. And the covenant with Israel during the tribulation period, there is going to be a temple. Now, maybe that temple is going to be built as a part of this peace treaty with the Antichrist. And that's very possible. The peace treaty, okay, Israel gets the right to the Temple Mount. They get to build the temple, and everything is set. But the Bible says in the middle of that 7.5-year period, it says he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for an overspreading abomination, he shall make it desolate. That is, he will pollute it. And even until the consummation that shall be determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so that 3.5 years, the Antichrist, we know in 2 Thessalonians, he will declare himself to be God and to be worshiped as God. And that will be in the middle of this tribulation period. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7, 3.5 years. It says, that we just looked at, it says it, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. That's how long that this duration of trouble for Israel shall be. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 2. It says, and a mighty king shall stand up. And now I will show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall... Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. We have to start somewhere else. I've got that one wrong. Oh, I know, because I'm supposed to be in Revelation. That's why. Revelation chapter 11, that makes quite a difference. Not reading what I'm reading. Not seeing what I'm reading. Revelation chapter 11. And we're emphasizing this whole principle of 3.5 years. Speaking of emphasizing the literal interpretation of prophecy in the Bible. Literal interpretation of prophecy in the Bible. 3.5 years, over and over. The Bible says in Revelation 11:2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. In other words, 3.5 years. Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The ministry of the two witnesses will be 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Now remember, in the Bible, it's Jewish years. They are 300, they're 12 months of 30 days. And so all the numbering in the Bible, 3.5 years, is not 365 1/4 years. It's 360-day years, Jewish years. And so that is the emphasis that the people of God will be preserved after the abomination of desolation is set up. It appears that the saved will be swept away into the wilderness, protected of God for 3.5 years. Verse 14 of chapter 12. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. And the woman, of course, is Israel, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And what a great picture it is. Proverbs, and then Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5 describes the duration of the Antichrist rule and persecution and his blasphemy. Revelation 13 and verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And so we find the prophecy is sealed. It is the truth. will be understood in the last days in new light, but it's not going to change. And it is a literal prophecy. It's not figurative. It's not symbolical. It's not something that has already taken place. It is a literal 3.5-year period that is in the future. That 7-year tribulation period will be divided into 2 3.5 years. And the first one will be, the first half will be all leading up to the Antichrist setting himself up as God. And the last half will be a terrible time of trouble. Now, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 12 as well that this time, this 3.5 years, will be a time of unprecedented wickedness. This is quite a statement. It says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That's a very sobering statement. First of all, it tells us that the wicked shall do wickedly. And this period Jacob's trouble is a time of unprecedented wickedness. Now, I think that we are living today in a time of unprecedented wickedness in America. I think we're living a day of unprecedented wickedness in the world. Perverseness, transgenderism, homosexuality, blasphemy against God, you name it, the music of the world, unprecedented evil all throughout the world. It's not localized in one place. And it is, but can you imagine the unprecedented evil of the tribulation period? I don't think we can imagine it. Now, there's a couple interesting things. It says the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. None of the wicked shall understand. Now that we have here in this picture, we have a tremendous divide. A tremendous divide pictured. A divide of the wicked and their wickedness and their lost condition in their wickedness. And then we have alongside of that, we have a picture of many who, the Bible says, shall be purified and made white and tried. And it's quite an interesting picture. Now, 2 Thessalonians gives us a little insight. It tells us that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, there will be a great divide. Notice, verse 9, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Now, these are very sobering words. These are words of no second chance. These are words of no return. These are words of finality. These are words of those who have said no to God one last time. And they describe that the wicked shall not understand. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It gives us this same principle of God turning over people to their wickedness. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, gave them up unto vile affections. You know, as I look at the world in which we live today, it seems to me that there are illusions of that very truth taking place today. You have those who have denied the truth, who have denied God, who have gone against reason of the power of God in creation, and who have become an unthankful people, and they have been given up unto vile affections. The Bible tells us that the darkness of homosexuality is a result of the judgment of God upon a people who have rejected did willfully and knowingly God. That's pretty serious. That is horrible. And we have that same picture, that these people who chose not to love righteousness, who chose to reject the truth, that when the Antichrist comes, they will be given strong delusion, and they will usher him into power. This is a picture of the wicked doing wickedly and continuing in their wickedness. And so we have this picture of this dark element of the world that is dark. Dark, dark, and forever dark. And I fear that there are politicians and there's leaders of the world today who have been condemned to darkness forever. That's how it's working. been condemned to darkness forever. They will never be saved. I don't know who they are, but there's a principle of this darkness that is in operation in the tribulation period. But I think that is a very sobering a picture of unprecedented evil. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 24:13, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It tells us that the darkness of the hour affects even the righteous people. And I am still believe, with all my heart, that Lot was affected by living in Sodom and Gomorrah. No matter how you want to object to 2 Peter, the fact is Lot was affected by Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's the day that we are living in. And Christianity has been affected by this wicked world. And it is showing the effects of living side by side with this great wickedness. But on the other hand, we see here a picture of great opportunity. Of great opportunity. It tells us that, yes, there is this wicked crowd, and they are wicked. They are wicked to the nth degree, and they're going to be wicked. But notice the other crowd. There's kind of like, maybe you would call it the silent crowd. But it says there, but many, many shall be purified and made whole and tried. And it tells us that in this time of terrible wickedness, there will be many. There will be many who turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have that picture of that crowd in Revelation chapter 7. And we know we aren't in a tribulation period, but I think that this is an encouraging thought. There's this great crowd around the throne giving glory to God. And verse 13, and one of the elders, Revelation 7:13, answered, saying unto me, what are these things which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. We have a great picture of, in the fact of this crowd of wickedness, unprecedented wickedness, they will come. There will be a crowd of people who repent and turn to Jesus Christ and are saved. Amen? They'll be tried. There is the trial. Either the word of God and obeying God, accepting Christ and living for God, versus taking the mark of the Antichrist and being able to buy and sell and live and whatever. There will be a trial. But, wow, there will be many. You know, we were having a discussion one day, and I was thinking about the crisis that we're living in. Sometimes I wonder if it's not a pandemic, but a plandemic. But, you know, I was thinking about it. What kind of people are going to be attracted to the truth? Are they going to be attracted to a church as namby-pamby and just goes along with all this foolishness? No way. You know, we found out then, you know, there's a whole crowd of people that aren't going to come to our vacation Bible school. They swallow this thing hook, line, and sinker. You know, they're going to wear a mask on Mount Everest, and nobody else is there. You know what? They're afraid. But you know, there's some people that don't swallow it. And there's some people that aren't overcome by fear. And you know, there are some people who said to Philip, hey, I'm glad you're having vacation Bible school. Hey, that's where I want to go. Amen? You see, there's a great divide. There's a great divide. This is a time of great opportunity to get out the truth, to tell people about Jesus Christ. There's some people that are looking for someone who can give them some answers. I was at a particular establishment in this town that's being waited on by this young lady who's a college student, and I knew a little bit about her, and I had asked her about her schooling and her education, and she said, I can't remember the thing, she said she wanted to study octopuses or something, and she was hoping that she could graduate and get a grant to study octopuses or whatever, and I says, well, you know what? Something like, you know, the chance of you getting a grant to study octopuses if you don't believe in evolution is almost zero. And I started our conversation. And I told her a lot of things that were contrary to all the lies that she was being taught in college. And we had a tremendous conversation. I just talked to her dad 2 days ago, and he said, you know, my daughter is waiting for you to come back in here because she has a lot of questions that she wants to ask you. You know, there's some people who aren't going to swallow this line, hook, line, and sinker. They aren't going to be the little sheep that are going to swallow the lies of the professors and all this other foolishness. And that's a picture that in the tribulation period, it's going to be a time, we're not going to be here, but it's going to be a time of tremendous evangelism. Praise the Lord. And right now is not a time for the churches to lower their standards. Now is not a time to make home plate wider. You know that? Not a time to make home plate wider. It's a time to stand up for what is right and to do it unashamedly and to live like the Bible says and not compromise. The Bible, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And this is the picture we get in Daniel here. Yes, unprecedented evil. But notice some other interesting insights in Daniel. And we're running out of time, but it is interesting. Daniel chapter 12, it says, verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Now, it's interesting that 3.5 years is how many days? 3.5 years is 1,260 days. That's when Jesus returns. 1,260 days is the end of the tribulation. It ends with Christ returning in glory on the Mount of Olives and defeating the Antichrist and all the armies of the world with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. And I think that sword is his word. Just like the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Because that's why Jesus is called the Word. Amen? And but it says the 1,335 days. Now, another place in the Bible talks about the 1,290 days. Now, the thought is between those 1,260 days of the return of Christ, the 1,290 days is when Jesus' government is officially installed. And 45 more days till the judgment of the nations is complete. And the millennium will begin with Christ on the throne and only saved and righteous people on this earth. And it says, blessed is the man that comes to that day. Somehow, and I don't understand it, all the armies of the Antichrist that are gathered in Israel, they're all going to be destroyed, but there's still going to be the ungodly nations on the earth, and they're going to all stand before Jesus, and they are going to be judged, Matthew 25, according to how they treated the people of God and how they treated the nation of Israel. And all of the goat nations are going to be cast into hell and destroyed. And that will allow the millennium to begin on this earth with just saved people. But it says, blessed is he that comes to that day. And can you imagine the amazing, the utopia of the millennium? Can you imagine going from this world and through the horrible tribulation and surviving the tribulation in which most of these saved will be killed, but not all, and making it to the day from that world to that world? What an amazing thing. You know, I used to think as a kid, people born before 1900, you know, and when there were no cars and you thought, wow, yeah, went from one world to another world. Well, this is a big transition from one world to the other. Now, all the people who like to say you lose your salvation, they quote Matthew 24 out of context. And they use it as their key verse that says you can't, that you can lose your salvation. It'd be a good time just to look at that, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. This is a tribulation setting. And the context is verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold, but he that endure till the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, etc., etc. And let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains when the desolation takes place, etc. It's talking about the physical deliverance that is going to be to those who make it through the tribulation period. It's not talking about salvation of your soul. It's talking about the deliverance of their body through that time of physical persecution. verse used out of context a million times by the Pentecostals especially. Be a worthy time to mention that. But blessed are those who make it to the kingdom. Wow. Now we won't be among them because we'll be there as priests and kings ruling with Christ in the millennium. But we won't be ones who have gone through the tribulation period. Then if you look at Daniel again, it says in verse 7, it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. The picture here is in the tribulation period, Israel will be completely broken. Israel will be completely broken. Now, if you keep up with the news, Israel is the head of the game medically. Israel is ahead of the game militarily. Israel today and worldwide, the Jews are a brilliant, brilliant people. But they don't trust God. They trust themselves. And God will have to break them. They'll have to break them of their pride, of their dependence on their ability. They don't. But Israel today, secular Israel, they are not depending on God. They're depending upon themselves. And of course, much of America is depending upon themselves. They'll have to be broken. The Bible says the tribulation will break them. There will be nothing more to depend upon. And the only one that there will be to depend upon is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a great picture. Before they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to be broken. And it tells us the great relationship between faith and man's soul. Man who trusts himself, who believes in himself, who depends upon himself, it is very difficult for them to believe. Very difficult to them because spiritual truth is a spiritual reality. It is not a mere intellectual exercise. You have to come to the end of yourself in order to come to a place of faith. And Israel's going to have to come to the end of themselves to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we are living in a time in which that man's pride in his self-sufficiency and his own mind keep them from understanding the real truth of life. I'm wondering today, perhaps you're like Israel. You'll never believe until everything you have and are is taken away. And you can't depend upon yourself. You can't reason your way out of God. You can only see it the way it ought to be seen. You know, the old time saying was, a lot of people have to get on their back before they can look up and see God. But you know, it's going to be a blessed thing for Israel to come to the end of themselves. And then they can understand and easily see that Jesus is their Messiah. There's a lesson for all of us of why most people never get saved. And that is because they never came to the end of themselves. And maybe today you would be wise enough to not to have to come to the end of yourself. Maybe you would be wise enough not to have everything in your life ripped away from you before you could, surrender to God. And, it doesn't matter if you're old or young. You know, how many young people, they don't want to give up running their life. And they're going to have to experience the transgression and the hardness and the troubles and the horrible things of life that come when you hang on to sin, before they will finally admit, like the prodigal son, they'll finally admit that their thinking is all messed up and they're their own worst enemy. But I hope you're wise enough not to have to go through all of that till you surrender to God. I hope you're wise enough today to recognize that we are but dust, we are but flesh, we are but grass, and that we need God. And we need to turn to Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save us from our sin. And thank God his blood was shed on Calvary's cross. Thank God he is a merciful God. He wants to save us. Thank God that he is approachable. He said, all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. But you know, life is a great trial. The world is offering all sorts of things that will only bring heartache. And the Bible is offering a yoke and a burden, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And there's a choice to be made. Everybody has to make the choice of which path they want to be on. And I trust today that whether it is getting saved or whether it is living for God and obeying the Bible, that you would make the choice, the wise choice of life, to follow the Lord Jesus, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God today. And Lord, we see from the Bible that mankind, has the same problems, whether it's going to be in the future or whether it was in the past or whether it is today. Mankind is a sinner. And Lord, man is blinded by sin. And man can be blinded further by rebellious will. And what a horrible thing it is to reject God and to be lost in darkness. Lord, I pray that you might use the Word of God today to bring a soul out of their stubbornness, out of their wickedness, out of their foolishness, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. We know that our old sinful nature, that there is a lot of foolishness in us. There's a lot of wrong thinking. Lord, help us not to be among those who are influenced by the world, but help us to be among those that allow you to be the Lord, that allow you to be our master, who surrender our lives to you, who seek you in the testing of life to do what is right. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in these truths in our life, even this day. And while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe the Lord is speaking to you about the very fact of this great divide of life, the wicked and those who refuse to do right and those who are wise and submit to Jesus Christ. And the Lord is speaking to you, whether it is in your own personal life or whether it is for salvation, that you need to turn from going your own way and depending upon yourself. And you need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Master of your life. God, speak to your heart today. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God knows the struggle I'm going through. God knows the choices I'm in the midst of making. Pastor, would you pray for me? I need God's help in this time in my life to make the right choices of life. Anyone here today, God, speaking to your heart, pray for me. I make the right choices in life. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Lord, now I pray you'd bless the invitation that even today, whether it's via live stream or right here in this church building, Lord, that decision will be made for you. In Jesus' name, amen.